Past few weeks we've been talking about sinners and saints, people of great faith and their greatest failings. God still loves people who sin, and that's good news for all of us because each of us are sinners. God can still bless us even after we've sinned. We've looked at Abraham and Sarah. We've looked at Moses. Last week we looked at King David and his sin with Bathsheba. And this morning we're going to look at a story in the New Testament that is one of the most heartbreaking and really shocking stories in the whole Bible. It's a story about a particular sin that happened at a particular moment in history that will never be repeated again, but it's also something that is sort of symbolic of all of the sins that we commit, symbolic of all human failings. Every sin involves hurting either other people or hurting God or even hurting ourselves. Sin always has consequences, both spiritual consequences as well as earthly immediate fallout and brokenness. Some sins actually hurt all of the above. They hurt other people, they hurt God, and they even hurt ourselves. And that's really what Peter's sin was like that we're going to talk about today. Peter was a man of great faith and courage. We know Peter's story from the Gospels and from the book of Acts, and Peter even wrote parts of the New Testament and the letters that he wrote to the early church. Peter was a great leader. He was a man of courage. Peter was one of the inner circle of disciples. He was, in fact, probably Jesus' closest friend on this earth. And we need to begin that way with Peter. Peter was the first to declare that Jesus is the Christ. Peter walked on water with Jesus, if only for a couple of steps. Peter was there when Jesus was transfigured and he saw Peter speaking with Moses and Elijah. Peter was the one who ran to the tomb when it was found to be empty following the crucifixion. Peter was the one who stood up at Pentecost and addressed the crowd, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. Peter became the leader of the church, first in Jerusalem and then later in Rome. Peter wrote parts of the New Testament. Peter was, without any question, a great leader, maybe the greatest leader, the first great leader in the early church. And yet Peter also committed a terrible sin. The story of Peter's sin reminds us of our own weaknesses. It reminds us how easy it is for us to hurt someone else and for us to hurt God. Jesus told Peter what Peter would do before it happened. It was just before Jesus was arrested. And this story takes place in Mark chapter 14. So let me read the first half of the story for us, beginning at verse 27. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. This was the courageous side of Peter. This was the defiant, strong side of Peter. He was so sure that whatever came, and he didn't really understand yet what would come, even though Jesus had told the disciples time after time, I'm going to be betrayed and arrested and put to death and rise again. But Peter and the others didn't really understand what was about to happen. But Peter was sure, I'm going to remain strong. I'm not going to give in. He was so confident in his own resolve, he couldn't imagine that he would ever turn against Jesus. He says, Jesus, I will die for you. That was the courageous side of Peter. Just a few hours later, Peter would, in fact, fall. Jesus was arrested. He was put on trial. He was mocked. He was beaten. And there is Peter, sort of watching from a distance, staying in the shadows as all this is happening to Jesus. And then we come to verse 66. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them. Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. And then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. In one way, Peter's sin was unique. It's never going to happen again. Jesus is never going to be sentenced to die on the cross again, and so no one else will ever be in the situation that Peter was in, and so it's unique what Peter did, denying that he knew Jesus as Jesus was being led away to death. But in another way, Peter's sin is symbolic of every sin that you and I commit. Each time we hurt someone, we sin like Peter. Each time we dishonor God or dishonor the name of Jesus, we like Peter, reject our Lord. Each time we fail to stand up for our faith, then we're acting like Peter did. Each time we take the easy way out, each time we lie, each time we betray a friend or side with the world over siding with God. Each time we decide to protect ourselves rather than showing love to someone in need. In all those ways, we sin just like Peter. When the rooster crowed, Peter realized what he had done. And he was overwhelmed with shame and sorrow. And again, symbolically, that's how we all feel when we recognize what we've done, when we're confronted with the fact that we are sinners, that we have turned our backs on Jesus. This story is recorded in all four Gospels, which in one way kind of makes it unique. Not everything that happened to Jesus or around Jesus is written down in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but this story is there and in a way, in all four Gospels. But Mark's version is particularly poignant, I think, because Mark was Peter's assistant. Mark was not one of the disciples. He wasn't there as an eyewitness to these things. So he heard these stories about Jesus from Peter. And so we have to imagine that Mark heard this story from Peter himself. Which is why there are these particularly personal details about how Peter denied knowing Jesus and then, as the rooster crowed, broke down and wept. This story is included in the Bible as a warning for us, as evidence for us of God's grace. And Peter told this story, apparently, even to Mark, and knowing that it would be written down for all eternity for us to read, Peter understood the story needed to be read by other people, even though it makes himself look so terrible. But he understood that we need this warning in our lives, and we also need the assurance of God's grace that comes after we sin. We need these stories. That's why we've been reading through these stories about the failings of God's great followers, these people of faith, and yet also sinners, just like all of us. The end of Peter's story, at least of this part of his story, comes after the crucifixion and after the resurrection of Jesus. It's actually in John's Gospel where we read how Peter took how Jesus took Peter aside and forgave him and restored him. And then the book of Acts tells how Peter became that great leader in the early church that we know him for, and how he even, through the Spirit's power, performed miracles, and how he led literally thousands of people to faith in Jesus Christ. All of which happened after Peter sinned and Jesus forgave him. So that's Peter's story, but we want to bring this into our own lives. And as we do that, I want to encourage us to resist the pressures that Peter gave into, to fight back against those forces that so often oppose us and even those forces that oppose the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Spirit giving us strength and courage and faith to do what is right. We have, through the Spirit's power, that courage to stand up for Jesus. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, that we have that courage to stand up and to proclaim that we know and follow and love Jesus. So I want to begin here, that we courageously stand up for Jesus when we follow God's Word. When we follow the Word. Now that might sound simple and basic, especially as we sit here as good people who go to church and listen to biblical sermons and hopefully read your Bible every day at home, and we read the Bible because we know it changes us. It not only teaches us about God, but it impacts how we live and follow Jesus. And so on the one hand you say, well, of course we want to follow God's Word. But the truth is it takes courage. It takes courage to obey God's Word, especially in the culture that we live in. And I think the truth is it's always been hard. But you think about the world around us today where, whether we like it or not, followers of Jesus in America are now in the minority. Biblical values in our culture are not only ignored, they are often even ridiculed. And people who live according to biblical values are out of the mainstream of the culture today. And you may not like that, or you may not want to admit that, but it is in fact the case. Let me give you two examples of this. The first is marriage. The Bible clearly defines marriage as a lifelong covenant between a man and a woman. And I don't think any responsible interpretation of Scripture can lead to any other conclusion. Which means how you honor your own marriage, as well as how you support others in their marriage, speaks truth into a culture that is largely devaluing or even redefining what marriage is. And so we have an opportunity in this culture not to judge others, but simply to stand up courageously for how God teaches us marriage should be and look. The other example is money. The same can be true for how we deal with and handle money in our own lives. You see, our culture says that money matters more than anything else. Money is sort of the scorecard of life according to the world around us. And so greed and selfish ambition rule over many lives. And that's how the world is. But we faithfully try our best to follow God's word and God's wisdom about how we deal with money. And so in response to God's word, we do things like giving generously to the church to support and enable our ministries. We also give to those in need. We give even sacrificially. When we see someone else in need, we don't hold on to what we have greedily, but instead we generously give to the people around us. We use the money that God has given us to further God's kingdom and God's values. We spend, we save, and we share our money according to the wisdom that we find in God's holy word. And by living according to God's values, whether it's marriage or money or any number of a multitude of other ways that we honor God by obeying His word, we show the world around us that we love and follow Jesus and that He comes first in our lives. We're also called, though, to love others. We courageously stand up for Jesus when we love people in His name. The root of Peter's sin in denying that he knew Jesus, the root of that sin is that Peter was loving himself and trying to protect himself. He was afraid that if he was known as being associated with Jesus, then the same thing that was happening to Jesus would happen to him. And so Peter wanted to save himself what Jesus was going through. Peter loved himself more than he loved Jesus in that moment. For followers of Jesus, loving other people, loving one another in the church, loving our neighbors, even loving people you meet on the street, strangers around you, people you work with, people you hardly know or don't know at all, loving people is the first and best way that we show the world who we are as followers of Jesus. It's also the first and best way that we honor and obey Jesus Christ, because it should be, according to Scripture, and this comes right out of what Peter writes later in the New Testament, right out of what John, one of the other disciples, writes later in the New Testament, that our lives should be characterized. How we live is supposed to reflect a loving attitude toward the people around us. And so we stand up for Jesus when we love people, and especially when we do it in His name. I think this is also especially true when we go out of our way to love people who are different from us, or people who might be hard to love, or people who we might not agree with, or people who may follow another faith, or people who may live in ways that we may think are not right, and yet we can still love those people and show them compassion. Just a few days ago, I was invited down to the Rockford Rescue Mission. Charmel Jacobs is now the church relations, I don't know her title, but anyway, she invites people in to go on tours of the rescue mission. So she called and I went down to tour the rescue mission. I'd been there before, but I got to see all the nooks and crannies and all the different things that they do. And it's amazing how effective that ministry is in reaching people who are at the very edges of society, at the very end of their rope. People who, whether it's addiction or just other causes of poverty, are in extreme need. And they love people in Jesus' name. They love people because of Jesus. They love them and they tell Jesus' story to people who have nowhere else to go. And it's that sort of love for folks who are in difficult situations, but it's also loving your family. It's also loving one another in the church. It's courageously standing up for Jesus by showing love to people around us the way that Jesus has loved us. And we offer this type of love to everyone around us. As we do that, we may also find that God gives us opportunities to tell Jesus' story. And so I also want to encourage you in this way, and that is that we courageously stand up for Jesus when we share His good news. And this is an area that some of us might not feel very comfortable or qualified in. We all know people who are far from God. We all know people who haven't yet opened up their hearts to follow Jesus. We know people who have maybe wandered away from faith commitments that maybe they made as children or long ago, but now are not living that faith day by day. And it takes courage for us to tell someone about Jesus, to share with them our experiences of faith. It takes courage to invite someone to church with you. It takes courage to even invite someone to follow Jesus. But we need to develop that courage, just like Peter did. Peter failed Jesus on the night when Jesus was betrayed and arrested and eventually put to death. Peter failed at this challenge, this opportunity to share his faith, to stand up for Jesus in a public way and in front of someone who didn't know Jesus, didn't follow him, maybe even was hostile to the idea of Jesus. Peter failed on that occasion. And yet, God was not done with Peter. And Jesus invited him to find a second chance. And Peter confessed and repented, and then he grew in his faith, and Peter got better at sharing his faith. Each of these sinner and saint stories that we've looked at the past few weeks, they all tell us about people who are not finished products. They're not complete works of God yet. And that's true for all of us. God does not give up on you when you fail. God doesn't give up on you when you come up short in a particular opportunity. Maybe you can think back over your life and times when you had a chance to tell someone about Jesus or to pray for someone in need, and instead you just kept your mouth shut. And you can look back on that and say, God, I failed in that time and I'm sorry. And like Peter, you have an opportunity to do better the next time. To repent and be forgiven and to grow in your faith and to be ready the next time that opportunity comes. You may not feel courageous about sharing your faith, so you need to pray for courage. You need to ask that God will help you grow and give you more opportunities in the future, just like Peter had more opportunities, really just weeks later. And when that opportunity came, Peter stood up in front of that crowd in Jerusalem, right there where he had denied knowing Jesus, right there where Jesus had been put to death. Peter stood up in front of maybe even some of the same people who had witnessed Jesus die on the cross, maybe even some of the same people who had called for Jesus to be put to death. And Peter stood in front of those very same people and he professed his faith and he called them to follow Jesus. And 3,000 of them responded in faith and were born again. Peter failed in a terrible and heartbreaking way, but then Jesus forgave him. And he asked him to do better. And Peter became a great leader and a great evangelist. And so we look at our own lives. We are sinners, flawed and failing people. But we are also unfinished vessels in the hand of the master craftsman. God is still shaping you. And His work in each of our lives takes time. And sometimes we don't get it right, but our Maker is also our Redeemer. And He calls us to repent. He calls us to do better the next time. And this is the good news for all of us sinners, all of us saints, that Jesus is not done with us. And He is calling you to do better the next time. And He's going to give you opportunities to serve in mighty ways in the days to come. So let's rejoice in that good news. Let's bow our heads and give thanks to God. Father, we do thank you for your grace, for your love, for your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for the ways that you're helping us to grow in our faith and to turn away from sin and to turn towards you in faith. Lord, help us to do better the next time. Help us to share with the people around us your love, to share with people your story. And we pray, Lord, that you would use us to make a difference in this world. In the name of Jesus, to love people and to rejoice in your goodness so that others can come to know that Jesus is the Savior. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the forgiveness that you offer to sinners like us. We pray these things in the name of our Savior. Amen.